remember it starting immediately, but I mean, the more that I sought the Lord, the hungrier that I got for the Lord and for the things of God, you know. And then I started having, you know, people prophesy things to me. I had a dream one time, and I was standing out front of an ocean of people, and I was out front, but we were all dressed in white. That means, you know, I was not a standout dude. I was just leading, you know. It's what it meant to me then, you know. But anyways, all of these years later, you know, where we are as a church today, going into all the world, and then, but this dude, he's reading my, he said, hey man, he said, let me read your future. And I said, nah, that's okay. I know what my future is. I get, you know, and he said, oh man, let me read your, and the Lord spoke to me, you know, because I knew he's operating under demonic spirits, and, you know, because let me tell you something, Satan does know things about you. Satan knows what God has spoke prophetically. If it's been voiced into your life, he knows, and Satan makes plans and all of that to stop that, you know, the plans that God has for you, but he can't. I mean, the only way he can is weak. But anyways, the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, let him read your future. And I'd had that dream, and I'd had that dream, and then one of my friends had went to the flea market and found that very dream that I'd not even told nobody about, but Teresa. He found that dream on a picture, and when he seen the picture, he said, and I'm telling you, this reason God will do things like that in your life when he's got things. He'll confirm things. He'll give you, when you need encouraging, he'll send things into your life and people into your life, but he'll do it his own way, you know. He's got a way of keeping you motivated towards the goals that he had. But anyways, he brought me that picture, and he said, when I seen this picture at the flea market, he said, I just thought about you, and I had to buy it for you. When I got the picture, it was a leader leading a whole line of people, just like the dream that I'd had. You know, and I thought, man, God just confirming to me. Then this other guy, and I'm telling you this, not my story. See, you're going to have testimonies. You've got things that God wants in your life, and faith comes by hearing. Encouragement comes by hearing what God has done in other people's lives, you know, to get them to where he wants them, pretty much, you know, or whatever. But anyways, I sat down. He said, then you tell him his future. Well, I sat down, and he throwed out, and he said, man, king. And I thought, I'm a king. That's exactly what I did. It was a king card, you know, the card. It was a king. And he said, this represents power. I said, yeah, I know it. Well, I thought, we've been given power over all the power of the enemy. And it broke open that king, and then he broke over another one. I done forgot what it was, you know. And he said, man, he said, you're going to stand before a lot of people one day. And I said, yeah, God's taken me into all the world to preach the gospel. It sure is. I said, you're hitting it. I said, you're just confirming what God, I said, and then when he got done, I said, but let me tell you your future. I said, you're getting information from my enemy that has heard where I'm going in the Lord. You are drawing power from the powers of darkness that knows things about me, and your destiny is hell. I said, you are serving your father, the devil. I said, and if you don't turn to Jesus, I said, you're going to go where he is one day. Like that, you know. Well, it ain't been too long ago, 20-something years later, me and Travis was over doing some work at Lambstone over yonder, and he works at Lambstone. And his mom come here, you know, and they had messed up and all that. And he told me, he said, you still having church over there? And I said, yep. He said, I'm going to come to church. I said, good. I said, that's good. I thought, you know what? God takes things all the way around in your life. And the people, I mean, he's got people for you to reach. But when we're under attack, when I'm under attack by the enemy, I don't take it personal. He hates Jesus. He hates God. He hates the things of God. He could care less about me and you. I mean, he's really not personally after us. He hates God, and he hates the things of God. And the more that we walk after God and do the things of God and pursue the things of God, the more that it turns him on to bring attacks. But that's why the Bible says that no weapons formed against us will prosper. That's why it's hard for some folk to put Jesus first, to put God first, to put the kingdom first. But I find when I put the kingdom first, everything in this world seems to pan out real good for me. Everything begins to pan out really, really well for me when I'm putting the kingdom first. See, when I'm always seem to be under attack somewhere. I mean, if I'm not having challenges, I think something's wrong. But how many knows God wants us to be strong under pressure? And the pressure bearer lives on the inside of us, but we got to cast things over on the Lord. And I was reminded of what the Spirit of God spoke to me back first of the year, and he said there's a shifting taking place. He said there's things that's going to come to pass this year in believers' lives that's been believing me for a long time. Things are going to come to pass they've been believing for. And you know what? I've noticed it, not just here, but I've seen it. I've seen people that I've seen faithful through hardship. See, look, God, believing God means we put him first. It means that we put his things first. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about fasting. I'm talking about meditating on the word. I'm talking about going to church. I'm talking about whatever the Spirit of God is speaking to us to do in our giving. We're putting him first. And I've seen people, and I've seen it over the years, people that go through hardship and they draw closer to the Lord and they fast and pray and they don't fold under the pressure. They come out on top, and then they don't have to face many of those battles anymore. When you conquer an enemy, you climb higher. When you conquer a trial, stay in a right spirit. I mean, some people just have little temper tantrums over nothing. I mean, over nothing, over absolutely nothing. Why? Because the enemy causes them to work in their carnal mind, and they feel. They don't walk by faith. They feel. People offend them, and blah, blah. The preaching offends them, you know. Somebody giving testimony of victory offends them. You know, it's because they're not embracing what God is trying to do to set them free. Therefore, they go further into captivity. But there are those like us, and hopefully those listening, and we get a hold of things, and we don't panic when trials hit. I remember a time back yonder when I'd be like, man, what's going on here? I'm just trying to serve Jesus. Why am I having to work so many hours? I want to do evangelism. I want more time, like you're talking about. I want more time for God. I want more time for, you know, and then God opened doors and put more pressure on me, and I had the same pressure of work and all of that. And I thought, oh, man, how do I do this? Then I thought, well, the Scripture says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I took hold of that Scripture, and I said, okay, God, if you open the door, then this is how you do it. I don't care if it's finances. I don't care if it's marriage. I don't care what it is. You take the Scriptures, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you open the door for me, then you're going to grace me. You're going to grace me, enable me to do what you called me to do. And I did that for 3 years. People say, well, I work too hard and I'm tired. That's fine. I was toting sheetrock most of the time from 5 o'clock till 5 in the evening. So I understand the hardship of that. And then getting ready and getting things together, going, setting up a trailer and all that. What I'm saying, I was under attack, but I didn't yield to it. But God, I said, God will grace me if I don't get to bed till 1 o'clock in the morning and I have to get up at 4 o'clock to go to work. But God, he'll grace me. And you know what? He did. He graced me, and I was faithful to the ministries. But you know what the Bible says? It says those who are faithful over little, he'll make them ruler over much. But flip it around now. If you ain't faithful in a little, you won't be faithful in much, and he can't give you much. He cannot give you much. He can't give me much. But we don't panic when trials come to our house. And I always think about the latest one that shook me for the first time, maybe later on after the financial trial, was when the hell started. You know, and it's beating everything up, my house, my windshields, my service trucks. I mean, it's just, and not just me, everybody around me. I'm thinking about the neighbors and all of that, you know. And then I go in the house, and it's not roof holes in the roof, and water's coming into my house and all of that. And I had just brought a sermon to the church, you know, steady in the storm. And I brought scriptures where Jesus was in the ship and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the Holy Ghost led me. And but never did I dream that I was going to need that next Tuesday. I did not know that Tuesday coming up, that God knew all about it, that I was going to need that sermon. I didn't feel like I needed it till then. See, just because we feel like we don't need to go to church and hear the word preached and listen to some preaching during the daytime and meditate on the word of God, just because we don't think we have a need, God knows what we're going to need next week, next year, next month, and a millennium from now. So he prepares us. Well, I'm standing there, and I have this rot gut feeling. Things I'm out of control. My house is being beat up, and I mean, you know, I can't stop it. I'm out of control of that. And I'm standing there, and I'm like, oh, man. And God said, what did you preach Sunday? Thank God I come to church that Sunday. I was in church and heard that sermon. Right? I put it together, but I didn't hear it. Then when I preached it, I heard it. I'm like, whoo, this is good stuff. Good stuff. Felt it's good stuff. Well, I said, steady in the storm. I thought, oh, man. So then I rose up. But God, there's what you do. Right in the middle of your storm, right in the middle of your mess, right in the middle of everything feels bad, looks bad, sounds bad, is bad. You rise up and you say, glory to God. I shall not be moved, Lord. You are my source, but God, you'll take care of this. I cast this over on you. That's when you're steady, and that's when God can step in. And you know what? That storm brought, when that came, and I stabilized myself in that storm, and I cast down those thoughts, and I put my trust in Jesus and the Word of God rather than the insurance company or anything. I've refused to trust in anything in that trial other than God. When I got done, things that me and Teresa had believed for years were done because of that storm. They were done because of that storm. We got metal roofs. We had money. We paid extra labor, just give people money, things that we wanted. But you know what? I came under attack immediately with fear and unbelief and the devil and the way I felt, and I've worked a long time for this, and this is my dream being shattered, and all those thoughts. I mean, that's where the Bible comes in, where it says in 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, though we walk in the flesh, we do not want war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the thoughts and imagination, arguments that comes against the Word of God, bringing every thought into captivity. See, that's what you got to do when you're under attack. Your thoughts and Satan, you're going to lose. It's not going to be good. What's everybody going to think? He's wanting you to focus on everything but Jesus. Everything but the Word. Everything but the answer. Even in marriage. Teresa one time packed her bags. Pregnant with Judah. I mean, it wasn't the first rodeo. If she's done that and I've done that once, we've done it a million times. Travis about 15 years old, and I'd made up my mind. I'm not going to be moved by this marital trial again. Not going to move me. Packed your bags, I'm leaving. I want a divorce, blah, blah, blah. You know, just mad. I mean, if we got to watch it when we're in trials. We got to watch it when we're mad. You know, we say things and think things and bring out the word out of our heart that we've got settled in there and let something take it and choke it out so that fruit don't come forth in our life. Satan is not stupid. He brings suggestion to me and you. He ain't got the power to do nothing in your life. He don't got the power to do nothing in my life. He brings suggestion and thoughts. And you know what, Travis, ain't you going to go get Mom? And I said, no, I'm not going to get Mom. I didn't go through the whole story. Travis didn't know none of our past at that time. He didn't know what kind of trials we've overcome in our walk with the Lord. He didn't know, and I didn't see no reason to tell him. All I knew is, but God, I've come this far, and I'm not going back into bondage. I'm not going back down there in fear and unbelief, praise God. And you know, because I knew the scripture where the Jesus couldn't do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Because they had been believing God at one time, casting out devils, and whatever the reason happened, then they couldn't do it no more. And it wasn't because Jesus took power back from them. See, I believe somewhere along the way that they was believing God, operating in the power. And then I believe things got hard, their challenges or whatever the case might be, and I believe they laid down that faith. I believe they laid down that power. And then Jesus told them, he said, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. He said, because of your unbelief, because of people's unbelief, they can't do the will of God. Because of people's unbelief, they can't fight for their marriage. Because of people's unbelief, they can't believe God to come out of debt. They can't believe God. They're in their trial. They're in their moment. They're in their feelings, in their emotions, and all they are. And they're not receiving the power to be sustained by the Lord. See, we got to draw our strength from the Lord. Well, anyways, I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I ain't going to be moved by this trial. All things are possible to you, to him that believes. See, and I mean, she's the only thing that I cared for back under. Really. I mean, I was just in love, and she's the only thing, but we didn't have Jesus in her. Keep Jesus in your marriage. Keep Jesus in your heart, your lives, because Satan is real, and he wants to tear it apart before it gets started. He wants y'all jealous and all that, and I'm not getting on that. If you need counsel, get with me after church, and I can give you some pointers. I've been married 38 years. You're going to need a refrigerator. And it's going to go out sooner or later. You're going to buy a vehicle, and it's going to something happen to you. You know. But anyways, back on track. I told the Lord, I said, well, she goes off up yonder to Arab. There was not one empty room in any inn, any motel. And her back got to hurt. And her bed began to feel faint. It's pretty good, I guess. But it was God. All I'm saying is it was God. And that incident was over there in a couple of days, and that's never happened again. That was way back yonder, you know. And so the thing about it is, why I'm bringing that up is because I made up my mind, and then I seen the victory of my mind made up that I wasn't going to be moved in this against my marriage again. And praise God, when I made my mind up to that, I was there in peace. I wasn't afraid she's going to meet nobody. I wasn't, you know, like it used to be. And Fred, thoughts of losing, they just, all that left me. And I had this inner peace. How many knows we live for that inner peace? That inner peace, I knew she's coming back. I knew. I just knew. I don't know how, I just knew. And sure enough, here, 15 years later, however long it's been, that's been 10, 15 years ago, praise God. But you know, and I thought about another incident. See, serving God is really easy for me. I mean, people say it all the time, serving God's hard. When? I really don't. Now back under when I didn't understand God, understand God's power, understand God's word, understand God's grace, understand God's faith, and I was confused about a lot of stuff, and people would tell me, well, you never know about God. He works in mysterious ways. And so that confused my mind. God is not a mysterious God, and God does not work in mysterious ways. He's not a mysterious God. He's a very stable, settled God. Now, I understand I would stay confused, and now I'm like, later on, I'm like, serving God's the easiest thing I ever done. Just going to church. That's easy, ain't it? I mean, how hard's that? I decide I want some donuts. I get up at 9 o'clock at night and go down there no matter how hard I've worked and get me some donuts. That's the same way it is of going to church. The donuts drawed me to it. See, if I want Jesus, it'll draw me to him. It'll get me out at the midnight hour. All of y'all in Facebook land, find you a good Bible-based church. I don't care what people are saying this hour, praise God. There's power in the house of God. He said he'll show up in Mount Zion representing the church, hallelujah. And there's power in coming to the house of God, hallelujah. See, I learned how to stand in that storm through a sermon that he gave me to bring to the house of God. If it never helped none of y'all, it delivered me in the middle of my storm because I embraced it. I embraced what I had preached. Just because I preach it don't mean I don't hear it. In the house of God. Hallelujah. And don't you back off. I'm telling all of y'all here right now at Faithway Christian Center, y'all are faithful. Don't let nothing change that. Don't let your age, don't let your job, don't let your body, don't let arthritis, don't let weak mind thinking, don't let nothing get in the way of you doing the will of God. And the power of God will show up for you to do the will of God. Whether it's the spiritual things or natural things. See, even if I'm 55 years old, I can outwork most 30s. And I don't think I'm fooled. I can turn it on. I can turn it on, and I really like turning it on. 55, I'm like, man, I can work. But see, I'm not bragging on me. Samson toted the gates of the city. Elijah outrun chariots of horses. They were anointed in their thing. Hallelujah. I believe I have an anointing for 55 years old. I believe I have an anointing from God. I don't believe I'm just bragging on me. I believe that I'm kept by the power of God. The Bible says that we are kept by the power of God. And I believe it just like the psalmist David. He said, Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. When I think I can't do it, Johnny, I just tell the Lord, Lord, I can do all things through you who strengthens me. God, I can stay preaching for 21 years. I thought I'd run out of sermons after 6 months. I counted them. Sometimes, just like right now, I got that sermon, but I'm not preaching it. God is God. I mean, there's times when I think, I can't go to church on Wednesday night. I'm tired. I'm just being honest with you. Just because you don't see me lay down and crawl to the church and just barely get here with a sad countenance don't mean that I'm not tired. Don't mean that I should have stayed home and got some rest and went to bed early because I got to get up and fight the heat like the rest of it. Just see, people of faith, you won't never see them sweat much. I'd never let Satan see me sweat. He tells me I can't do it. I pick up a good Holy Ghost stone, hallelujah. And I throw it right in his forehead, and I tell him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you idiot. Don't you tell me my body ain't going to do it. My body's going to line up with the anointed word of God. Greater is he that is in me than he. I don't take. See, I'm not going to lay down and let the trials that come into my life defeat me when Jesus already gave me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He always causes us to triumph. Always. I mean, the generation's got to look back and say, glory to God, yes, but somebody in my, you might be the one in your family that needs to show people how to really stand up against the wiles of the enemy and the trials that come into your life with a mindset of victory and show them how it's done. Now, you will be criticized by some of them. Good. They still going to need where you're walking right now. They don't know they're going to need it, but there'll come a time, bless God, when they get right with God and get in there. See, you can be right with God and follow him from afar. And the things of God are a drag to you. Things of God are hard to you. Things of God are just seem like you need a vacation from everything. But when you're close to the Lord, everything seems to be a vacation. I know when I feel like I need to get out of here when it's me giving in to unbelief and fear and all that and taking a yearly, there's a difference. Because when I go on vacation, most of the time I'm looking for a church when I'm right to go to church while I'm on vacation. When I ain't right, I ain't no church. I ain't going to that, and that's a Baptist. Nah, that's a Methodist. That there ain't nothing like us. When you know what, it really don't matter. You're going down through there and you're saying, where do I go, Lord? Where? Where do you want me to go while I'm on vacation, Lord? Went on vacation one time and they called me to come preach at a church. And I'm on vacation. I thought, man, I'm on vacation. I started to tell them and I thought, God said, I thought you were putting the kingdom first. So I had to leave vacation by myself, Johnny, drive over an hour and a half to get to that church to preach. And I missed 6 hours of my vacation. But you know what? I felt like a warrior on the way back. I thought, see there, Satan, you idiot. But God, I'm always on vacation. And I got a good offering. And I really felt good the rest of the vacation. See, the trials that come into your life are there to test you. They're there to help you. Trials help you. Aubrey yesterday, she got upset. She's going to spank Aiden. I mean, she's seven, man, and he's over there. She's doing something. He stuck his hand down there while she had to spray paint what it was. She thought she got it on him and thought that Grandma is going to get her on account of Aiden. So she's mad. She's really mad at Aiden. Pop off. Spank him. I said, well, he's okay. It's okay. You know, it is hot out there, man. I mean, it's hot. I went in the shop and had him in Travis to work all day, you know, and turned the fan on and in the shop, and it's still hot. I'm sweating. Well, she said, I'll do it, Papa. So she chased him around, and she got him by the arm. I'm going to spank your butt. And she starts to spank him, and when he did, he turns around, and he starts punching her. I said, hey, it's okay. Y'all stop that. Y'all be sweet now. But y'all be sweet. I wish I'd have never had a little brother. That's what I just, blah, blah. She's going through her trial. You know, she's going through, I wish I'd have never had a little brother. See there, if I'd have had a little sister, she'd play with me all the time. You wouldn't think a seven-year-old's going through trials, would you? So I told her, I said, now. I said, look at little brother. And he's over there. he's liking it. You know. I said, look at him. I said, he loves you. I said, little, no, he don't, Bubba, he don't. I said, yes, he does. He loves, what am I doing? I'm helping her through this dilemma. There's nothing there, man. Come on, grow up. God, man, get over here and help me separate these bolts, something worthwhile. But see, they're in their trial, man. I mean, they're going to need y'all. That's not a warning. Travis and Beth had some godly counsel out of a mother and father that would tell them the truth. That would tell him when you're wrong. Tell him when it's him. Tell her if it's her. We wouldn't side, and we helped them through their young marriage because they didn't know how to live together. They didn't know how to be husband and wife. They didn't know. And so they had godly counsel before them that helped them. And Travis tells me all the time, I'm glad I had you and Mom. But he says now, he said, I was all selfish. It was all me, most of it me. He said, and I caused us for several years a lot of trouble. He said, if it hadn't been for you and Mom, I wouldn't have made it. Now, I'm not bragging on, we were just being, see, but we done been through a bunch of these storms. We done been through serving Jesus and learning how to serve Jesus and learning how to cast down thoughts and learning how not to be mad at each other and keeping our mouths shut and being silent. I mean, the Bible says a wise man has few words. I found out the more I talk, the madder I'd get when a trial comes. Still do it today. If I go to talking about some trial and somebody messed up or whatever, that old flesh will rise up, and then I'll feel like the old man. I'll be like, I'll go whoop. I'll repent Sunday when I get to church. Now, I don't never think that and say that. I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going back down there. I'm not going back into bondage. So the Bible says, blessed is the peacemaker. Blessed. He says, overcome evil with good. I mean, just this week I'm talking about somebody and I had to repent. Just a few little words. On Facebook, for all places. Boy, I'm telling you, if they've ever been in jail, it's Facebook. It'll slap you right in prison, spiritually speaking. It'll lock you right up. It'll drag you right in. And it'll take you down a road. I mean, I had to do some repenting before the Lord. And I'm like, well, Lord, I was willing to go over there and see him. I'm not, because the guy said, well, why are you getting mad? It ain't even your post. And I'm like, what are you, Aubrey? 3 years old or something? What do you mean it ain't my post? That's, I, that, I can talk anytime I want to.
Are you mad? You mad? Why are you mad? It's not my pose.
I'm left thinking, good God, this dude, he grown, needs a lollipop. I told him, I said, I'm not mad or I wouldn't be responding on here. What I meant, if I'm mad, I'll just throw this down, get in my truck, I know where you live. If I was mad, you'd be wondering, where'd he go, where'd he go, where'd he go? And in a minute, he'd be showing up. There he is, throw your Facebook down, dude. Get on out here, let's be men. Now tell me that garbage. But see, I used to would do that, but praise God, I've got the victory. I went on to bed, I said that and ended it, prayed God and went on to bed, and I hadn't thought no more about it too much. Why? Because I'm not going to get, but it don't mean I'm just going to lay down and not voice the truth and voice the facts, hallelujah. Go ahead and throw me off Facebook. I'm tired of paying you anyways. Did you know we pay Facebook?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. You got Walmart? Turn the internet off on your phone. See, if 5 million people done away with the internet on their phone, Facebook would go nearly out, they'd nearly go bankrupt. We're paying them. Paying them for Facebook. Paying him to be wealthy. Nothing wrong with that. But see, when these trials come, the Bible says that God works all things together for the good, not for everybody. To those that love the Lord, that put the Lord first. See, people out there attacking Jesus and saying, yes, the Lord's the best thing ever happened to me. Where do you go to church? Well, I'm a member down yonder, West Side. Member don't mean you love Jesus. You ain't been to church in 30 years and you're saying you love the Lord? You ain't give a dime to the kingdom of God in 30 years and you want to convince me that you're convinced yourself that you love Jesus? We're living in a generation that is portraying this kingdom the wrong way. A lot of it. Not all churches, but they're portraying it the wrong way. We're living in a generation. Look, y'all need to be not babies where I hold you accountable for things and you don't get mad, puffed up, and quit. And if I'm in the wrong, I went to my pastor. And I mean it today. And I would get upset with him if he did not hold me accountable. If I was putting y'all in danger, I went to him and I made him promise me. I said, I need you to promise me that if I get in error and somebody out of my church comes to you and I'm not right and that they tell you that you examine me and then you take my license away. He promiced me. And Therese says, let me know from time to time. I will go tell Brad. I mean, she, you know. And I ain't quit yet. She's told me a bunch of times, you got scripture wrong. I'm like, no, you got scripture wrong. You're quoting that wrong. I'm like, who do you think you are? I'm the pastor. I founded this church through the Holy Ghost. If anybody could quit, I could have quit a long time ago. My wife seemed to be against me. I mean, every time I'd think I had a good sermon, she'd give me something negative about it. Now, she never knew it. Now, this is my chance to grow through criticism. I mean, the Bible says that if we go live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to have persecution. We're going to have people that talk about us. They talked about Jesus. We just need to make sure we're not the ones talking about them. Come on, somebody. We need to be the ones that cover. I mean, I brought people up at church, Teresa, before, blah, blah, I'm tired, I'm fed up, I'm out of grace with them. I'm just out of grace with them. She went, maybe they. And I'm like, don't give me that maybe they stuff. Well, she's taking up for them, Sandy. You know, that's a good thing. She's like, nah, man, it's time to cut them off. It's time to be done with that. And she'd be like, maybe they didn't really mean it. And I'm like, get out of their head. They did. It proved it. Y'all are quiet. That's not none of y'all. Just telling you right now, not none of y'all. Y'all all good. Everybody's good. Everything's good. Hallelujah. But how many knows that if I do my job right and I help people to have integrity, even if it's through pressure, I'm doing my job. Then, ma'am, when I mean, just like me laying down in the hospital down there, open heart surgery, there was absolutely nothing I could do as far as pastoring up here. But I'm on the commode in there running this church. I get up in the bathroom and go get on the throne. And I go to making phone calls and running, you know, and keeping things together and talking to Travis and different things, you know, and lining preachers up and all of that. You know, and then somebody tells me, well, I just couldn't make it last night. What happened? Did you die? The only thing that stopped me was I couldn't leave the hospital. And I threatened to leave it. Told Trent the Black, God didn't mess with me. I'm going to get my clothes out of there. I'm going out of here. They better quit lying to me in here. I felt like I lied to them. They're supposed to let me out and kept me longer than they're supposed to. So I thought, they don't own me. Jesus owns me. Finally, Tracy helped me calm down. It's good when you got people in your life to help you keep calm. Keep calm in that storm, praise God. Because you know what? I stayed pretty good in there, made it through okay. And look, I mean, I got the victory now. All that trial is over with, and it's just a memory to me, praise God, of the faithfulness that I felt like that I had toward the Lord. And I had to be faithful to this church. But you know what? Y'all stood right up and y'all rocked this church. Y'all rocked the food ministries. Y'all went and picked up the food. Travis did and some other folk, I think, rocked the food ministry right on. Then Travis got in his trial with it. Somebody said, why wasn't you at the food ministry? The giveaway. He's having to run my business, church, and everything else. He told him, I'm not called to that. You are. I don't know if it hurt their feelings or not, but he just told them straight up, I'm not called to that. You are. I went and got the food, Holmes. I've been having to take care of the church and Dad's goats getting out over there. It was your daughter's goats. I bought them for him. My goats was getting out. He ain't got no money. He's having to run. He's having to run without money. He's having to run services. He runs to Ross, one county, leaves Oniana, I think it was, to come back. And by the time he gets back, Oniana calls again. And then he's mad because he got to go back to Oniana. He just left Oniana. And I thought, well, he ain't never done that. I have. It's called J-O-B. Shut up, work. Right? Well, if you work, I mean, that's the way it is, ain't it? I mean, I go to Coleman, run up yonder to Admiral, go to Boaz, and pray God, and then Coleman will call me back. And I'll be like, I'm just up there this morning. And I'll be like, well, what's that got to do with it? The phone could quit ringing. See, all of this pressure builds you to where you're the warrior that God wants you to be. School starts back. Don't be afraid to pray at the lunchroom. Sitting there with them that don't really care to voice. It's a lot of teenagers love Jesus, but they're ashamed to pray. I don't know how to pray. Learn. Go in there. There's a good prayer you can start out with. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our daily bread. Learn it. Pray it to him. Then learn outside of that. And then you lay down and you get up there, praise God, and you say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I got the money to buy some food, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this food, Lord. Just talk to him. Don't be ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed of him, praise God. Because when the hardship comes in your life, it is there to do two things, to destroy you or to build you. So I don't want any of you cowing down to sickness and disease, cowing down to $5 a gallon fuel. Well, I'm on a fixed income. You ain't been here long enough. Shut that up. We all on a fixed income, so to speak. It's costing all of us more. I know it's costing more. Yeah, groceries are up. Teresa couldn't find my shredded cheese. Well, I'm not going to have a fit. I like sharp cheddar. You know, sharp. She likes the other, whatever that stuff is. And I think I can't eat a salad without it. But I'm not going to lay down, God, why me, God? I work hard. I didn't have no cheddar cheese, God. You know what God could say? Don't you remember how to make cheese, son? You churn it. I've made our milk before, our buttermilk and butter. Churned it. You churn. You don't churn 5 minutes. We turn a blender on around here. Oh, man. You go out there and you churn it. These are good old days, man. We're in times of believing God, and he brings manna in for us. He supernaturally. How many knows he can increase your finances to make up for the $5 a gallon if you will get in there and believe him? Believe him for the increase. Believe him for promotion. Don't get in there whining and crying like the world is. The Bible says for us to come out from among the world and be separate. Well, we're separate because we have faith in God, but we're separate because we work on it. Proverbs 18:19-20 or 20:21, he says, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit of it. What that means is the words that we speak as believers are producing life or abundance in our life, or is producing lack and unbelief. I'm not going to live in unbelief. You know, the last time I got in unbelief, I went and got in bed, and Tracy bought a note down here, no church today. I was in stark, raving unbelief. And you know what? That is the most miserable state a Christian could be in. I was miserable, Johnny. I mean, I'm still functioning, going to work, and oh, I'll go to work. Why? Well, light bill's got to be paid. But church? No, I'm done with it. I don't know what church done so bad to make me that way. It didn't. I got into unbelief. And you know what the Bible says over there in Psalm 78? It said that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Did you know that me and you can limit God today? We can limit him in our marriage. And I'm not saying if you've ever got a divorce or all that, that you just flunked and you just made shipwreck. It takes two people to have a marriage. If I hadn't have changed or Teresa hadn't have changed, both of us together, we would not be together today. And I'm telling you the honest to God's truth. I know it. Jesus, because me and her both will submit. We might have backed under, got a little upset and blah, blah, blah. But we would repent and we would change and we would let God do the healing. And so God was able to bring us to where we're at today, praise God. So I want to encourage you. Don't be soon shaken. Don't let trials just throw you right off the track, right off the road. When it hits, just keep yourself steady. Just keep yourself steady where you're thinking like the Bible says, praise God. He says, put on the mind of Christ. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You know what he thought the word? Go over there when he was led up in the wilderness, tempted of the devil. You go over there and you see what Jesus come out of his mouth. You know what it was? It was the word. He brought the word in there. He brought the word, and he used the word on Satan. Every time Satan would tell him something, he'll say, it is written. It is written, praise God. He even told him, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. And you know what, praise God? I mean, in reality today, if a person will put God first, I mean, just whatever you know to be the will of God, let me just put it like that, because some people don't really know what I'm saying. Put the word first place, final authority. You got to meditate on that stuff and let the Holy Ghost give you revelation. You know, you got to let him, you got to meditate on word, the sermons and different things, and rehearse them and say them if you believe them to be true, and until they become alive on the inside of you. I am totally convinced today that supernatural things would happen for every person that would truly dive in and believe that Bible and go after God and do their very best to put God first. Put him first, hallelujah. And I'm telling you, supernatural things would just happen for those people all the time. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you, and we just thank you, Father.